Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Rihanna. Where have you been?
Now, Jade, where have you been during the week? Because you were out of the state.
Yes, I went to Sydney for the weekend.
Good for
Long
you.
Long weekend.
Yeah, like good for you, you know, taking a break.
Yeah.
And just disappearing just for a very short time up to Sydney. Now, I know that this is not the case, but this is what it seems to me. Mm-hmm. It seems to me like you went up to Sydney just to see the Harry Potter exhibition. Tell me that's not the case.
No, it wasn't the case. I had a voucher for a free flight type thing, and I had to kind of use it by a certain time. And then, you know, it turned out, you know, my girlfriend and I were going to go together, obviously, and it turned out that we couldn't find a time that was for a longer period of time where we would have gone, you know, somewhere more extravagant. And we just decided, oh, let's go to Sydney. And it turned out, you know, then we were looking at, oh, what can we do when we're in Sydney? And we found out about this Harry Potter thing, and we're like, oh, let's go up there. And, you know, that can be part of it. Obviously, we've got a friend who lives up there.
Now, Jade, for a lot of people that have, you know, been following us on Twitter and on Facebook, they would have seen pictures of you putting together Lego sets, Harry Potter Lego sets.
Mm-hmm.
You and your girlfriend, you both love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So what was this exhibition like for you?
It was an interesting experience, Dave. I mean, we went to Harry Potter World last year in Orlando, Florida. You know, it's like a theme park, Harry Potter theme park. And, you know, there's rides and all of that. And that was a really great experience. And this was, you know, slightly different because it's more of an, you know, museum exhibit in a way.
It's a more cultured experience.
Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of, oh, God. You know, one of the funniest things was, you know, they take you into this room at the very start. And Dave, I know that you don't know a terrible lot about Harry Potter, but
I'm going to pretend to be a good listener. I'm going to pretend like I know anyway.
But basically, before you get started, they decide they're going to, you know, there's some lady there that says, oh, who wants to get sorted into, you know, by the sorting hat, right? And there were two, you know, there were people putting out their hands, me, my girlfriend, like, up, and, you know, like,
she was all, she was keen. She was the first one up. Hands went flying for the roof.
She was desperate. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, there's little kids in this room as well. And
this grown woman is just like, oh, pick me.
Yeah, pick me. She did actually eventually get sorted, by the way, and at which point she looked straight at me and was like, ha, see? And, like, you know, loudly to everyone. And you know how I like attention being drawn to me in a large crowd of strangers.
Meanwhile, a bunch of kids are like turning to their mums crying because they missed out.
And then you go into the exhibit and, you know, there's obviously costumes from the show. There's all kinds of pieces from the set. There's, you know.
Do they do audiobooks? Because I'm always very interested, guides.
There was an audio tour, yes. And that was, you know, we of course had the audio tour.
Did Maggie Smith narrate the audio
tour? No, I wish it had been Maggie Smith. It's very tempting, like, you know, when McGonagall's outfit is sitting there to not want to reach out and touch just because, you know, Maggie Smith was has touched that piece of material.
Oh, my God.
you know, the legends of, you know...
The legends of Harry Potter acting world.
Well, you know, Maggie Smith is...
She's pretty legendary.
Yeah, someone like Maggie Smith or, you know, Alan Rickman or Emma Thompson, they're these hugely famous people, you know, great... great actors.
And you're just inches away from touching clothes that yeah, have probably was, got their sweat on it.
It was really interesting to kind of... the audio tour, I feel like, really made it too because it kind of gave you a bit more context behind, you know, how they put together the costumes, what they, you know, the reasoning behind things. So it was, you know, it was a really good exhibition. Of course, they then, you know, push you out into the gift shop.
Yeah.
Where it's like... Harry Potter stuff, yeah, as far as the eye can see.
You have to buy it. You have to buy it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I remember when Yammer first kind of was in its beginning stages. It's funny, I mean, this sounds like kind of weird, but I used Yammer at my work and I was having a conversation with the person. So Yammer's an American company and they called me at one point and was like, oh, we've noticed that you've got like this huge increase. So we've had an influx of people using it recently.
Mm.
And he was
so the creators of Yammer,
yeah,
like Yammer HQ emailed you guys.
Yeah. And said, oh, can I have a conversation with you? Like, cause they assign like a salesperson or a support person effectively, for you. And he gave me a call one day and we were just having a discussion about, you know, how we could use Yammer and all of that kind of stuff. And, he said to me, because I remember using Yammer when I first started my job at my current employer, and at the time it was a bit more like Twitter.
So just so you guys know what Yammer is, it is a social networking website. It looks actually to me, Jade, it looks a lot like Facebook.
Yes.
So is Facebook basically except it's for organizations
yes.
to, you know, keep their staff in the loop. So it's meant to, you know, promote internal staff engaging with each other.
The
and
jargon term for it is an enterprise social network. So basically
yawn.
It sits behind a firewall. The only way that you can get in, you know, to your network is to have a...
It's to log in through your work email.
Work email. And then you're connected effectively. But when it first started, it was more Twitter, right? It was just like update type stuff. And obviously over time they've evolved and it's become more like a Facebook. You know, there's now profiles. You can create groups. There's all of that kind of
extensive stuff. And it's very user-friendly.
It is. It is. But it kind of does create... Dave, you and I were talking about it. It does create this kind of interesting thing around the culture of an organization too, because, you know, there's I was doing a bit of research on them and something it was predicted in September 2010 that something like 80% of Fortune 500 companies use Yammer as a social network. So they're used by these massive companies as a way of communicating, but there's always boundaries within your organization. Like, how are
you
going to use it?
I feel so. Because, you know, that old rule where, you know, you really shouldn't befriend your boss
mm-hmm.
on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on your work culture. Depends on your relationship with your colleagues and your boss. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't think I'll have anything in common with my work colleagues outside work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really into my pop music and I can't imagine anyone else in my office being as rapt about it as I am. So they'll probably find me very boring or very annoying to follow on Twitter
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to have as a friend on Facebook. So there is definitely a different approach because I've recently started a new job and one of the first things I was told the minute I started was, oh, we have Yammer.
Mm-hmm.
You should get on, create your profile and, you know, just see how this thing works.
Yep.
And I was just rapt because after being unemployed for a number of months and, you know, being like a bit of a Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Addict.
Know. Yes, yeah. Addict. It was hard to say, but yes, yeah. Facebook addict when I was unemployed.
Mm.
Going to work, I thought, damn, I'm going to miss all these fantastic opportunities to share my great Facebook updates.
Yeah.
But now I have Yammer at work. So I can kind of, you know, spread my greatness on a whole new platform. But Jade, as you probably realize, there are some things that you should probably just keep to your own Facebook
page. It's interesting. Like, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, Dave, because I also manage social media sites for our organization as well. So there's kind of this you do have to kind of create, you've obviously got your online profile, and, you know, you and I are both very, very active on a lot of social network sites, and we've obviously got those online personas. But then you almost have to create a different persona for work situations and a different voice.
I don't know what my work persona is, though, because that's the thing. I know who I am as a radio presenter. I know who I am on Twitter and on Facebook. But now there's a whole new crowd on Yammer just dying to discover David Lim.
And you do kind of have to, like, test the waters and see what that culture is.
You got to see what the most active users are doing on Yammer as well. So in every organization, there are always going to be a few people that are very active on Yammer if your workplace has it. And it's always good to kind of watch what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, suss out what is acceptable interaction. And I find, because I'm quite sarcastic on, you know, my Twitter and Facebook, I find that I cannot be as sarcastic on Yammer, because A, I'm the new person at work, and B, I don't really know, it's 80% of these people that
I
are on there.
I think you've got to build relationships first, because I think, you know, the important thing is that as a face-to-face person, they get a feel for you and your personality. And then when you post something, there's that understanding.
But you know what? Talking about building relationships first before you get to that sarcasm level, look at Twitter and how we make friends with strangers that follow us, or, you know, people we follow. I mean, there was none of this, oh, let's build a relationship first before you understand the context of my hilarity. It was just, this is who I am, bam, you're either going to love it or not. But I feel that with a workplace context, you got to be careful about that.
Well, see, you know, like something like Twitter, Dave, though, the people that we're interacting with and we're following, it's about shared interests, really, at the end of the day. Like, we've got shared and common interests, and that's where the conversation starts. It's completely different in a workplace. The only thing you really, at the end of the day, may have in common with that person is you work in the same organization. It's only after time that you find out, oh, maybe I've got these other things in common with particular people.
And what I wanted to also kind of explore a bit more with Yammer is, because it is the workplace version of Facebook, should we all then only be posting and talking about work-related stuff?
I don't think that's necessary, Dave. I mean, on our intranet, we've also got like a notice board area where people post up, oh, I've got free tickets to this, you know, that kind of. I think that it's really about building the culture of that organization as well. So it's, I guess, finding a balance, really. And it does become difficult. Like, you know, I've seen, in just dealing with, you know, these kinds of things, you know, people, I've seen certain posts go up at different times where, you know, someone from another department has run in and said, oh, we better delete that. Like, that kind of, you know,
there is that anxiety.
Yeah, there is still an anxiety. And I think, you know, people don't, they're still starting to get it, really.
It's a fine line between, I know this is a workspace and I'm so used to social networking, this is what I'm like.
Yeah.
You know, it's a change of habit, and I think we will just have to grow and adapt.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows, because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, it's been an interesting couple of months in television. I feel like there's so much new television, and I'm talking about television every week now.
Well, you are our resident TV guru, so.
Yeah, so Life's Too Short, though, Dave, is.
First of all, I need to know, are you a Ricky Gervais fan?
Yes.
Because I don't hear you talk about him very much.
I'm not, like, I wouldn't say that I, like, you know, totally stand for it. I love The Office. I thought that was a great show. But I'm not, like, you know, so intimately involved in all of his work. You know,
intimately involved.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. I'm not a stan, basically. But, you know, completely appreciate and love the stuff that he does. But Life's Too Short is, they're calling it kind of like a third in their series of sitcom-y type stuff. Obviously, there was The Office and then they did Extras. And when I say they, I mean Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, who is his often writing partner slash producer. So both those guys have written, directed and produced the show. And the, I guess the concept of Life's Too Short is Warwick Davis, who is a famous... Well, he calls himself a showbiz dwarf. He's probably he's famous for, you know, quite a lot of roles. He was an Ewok in one of the Jedi, in Return of the Jedi. He's been in the Harry Potter films as a couple of different characters. So he's quite well known and respected. And he apparently the idea or concept for this show started when he did a guest spot in Extras. And he happened to mention at the time to Ricky and Steven that he get the weird stuff that happens to him, you know, as an actor. And he had, you know, these great stories about that people would come up and sort of touch him. Like, and oh, for luck, how? Thinking he was a leprechaun, that kind of thing.
How rude.
And that, you know, he has to kind of get a broom handle to reach high objects. And
so basically a story of a dwarf's life.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of created the idea for doing this series. He does actually, Warwick plays a fictionalized version of himself. So in...
kind of like when the Spice Girls did Spice World, the movie. It's like an... Yes, Jade, come on.
I think it might be a bigger stretch than that. As awesome as a Victoria Beckham's, you know, posh interpretation was, this is slightly bigger than that. A bigger leap. and so basically the show, I mean, in the show he plays his... He's very, very egotistical. He's, you know, at the time that, you know, you're introduced to him, he's desperate for work. His marriage has just fallen apart. He's found out he owes all this money in tax, and he's got this like kind of incompetent accountant. So it's a turbulent time in his life, but he's very much like, he's got that kind of false sense of, you know, oh, I'm gonna make it type thing. And you know, it's kind of revealed through the story that the reason he left his wife was, you know, he didn't think she was hot enough, like that kind of he's not a very likable character, Dave, at this stage. He's like, he's obviously in a terrible spot, and much like a lot of the show, the stuff that's produced by Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, it is difficult at times to, you know, it's hard to root for an underdog in a situation where they're not very likable as a person. Like, so they do kind of have the, you know, he's obviously quite funny, you know, it's quite funny, and there's obviously that kind of observational comedy stuff in there, and it's very twisted and anything that you would expect from you know, Ricky Gervais in terms of that awkward, like, you know, when you're watching, I remember watching The Office for the first time and just feeling completely awful and awkward about the situations and what people were saying. And you still get that gut, you know, that gut awkwardness.
So it's definitely a signature Ricky show in terms of that kind of style and that kind of humour. But, you know, what's really impressive about, I guess maybe not so impressive if you consider, you know, this person's back catalogue of Extras and The Office, is the guest stars that are going to be on Life's Too Short.
Yeah, so I guess that's where kind of the Extras comparison will come in. There's, because obviously there's this showbiz element to it, because he's an actor and Ricky and Stephen are also in the show playing Warwick Davis's friends slash agents type, you know, thing. And, you know, there's all these guest stars show up. You know, Liam Neeson was in the first episode. Johnny Depp is in the show. Helena Bonham Carter will show up. Your mother.
My queen.
Your queen.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
At some point, I hear a rumour she will appear. I haven't seen her as yet.
Well, yeah, it's not a rumour. It's been confirmed, but it just hasn't aired yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
You have to tell me the minute you see SEB grace the screens.
And for my own thoughts, yeah, definitely if you're a fan of his type of comedy and that style. A lot of people have also compared it to Curb Your Enthusiasm. If you're into that style of comedy, then it's definitely worth watching. No word on Aussie air date, Dave. It's very, very new. It's only just started.
This is so typically Different Strokes.
Yeah.
We like to bring you and, you know, review stuff that's not really available in Australia just yet ever.
I was actually talking to my girlfriend this morning about it, and I said, you know, maybe next week I'll have to there's this other show that we'd been watching, you know, sort of 6 months ago that started airing here in Australia called Happy Endings.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, maybe I should rewatch that and talk about that on the show.
You're so ahead of
because it's actually on air now, because I was starting to get self-conscious about the fact that I keep...
We're so ahead of the times.
I keep saying all these things but it's not available in Australia yet.
No, but that's fine because, you know, we know that our strokers, our listeners are, you know, advanced enough to find content on the interwebs.
Yeah, they're savvy.
Read between the lines, baby.
Yeah.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Jane, Dave, One Direction, I have not heard of them. I saw a picture of what looked like a bunch of schoolboys.
Oh, Jade, they do keep getting younger and younger, don't they?
Yeah.
Makes us feel rather old. Look, One Direction, I'm very excited about this album. And you know, Jade, I don't normally listen to boy band music.
Mm-mm.
In fact, the last boy band album I heard was the comeback album by New Kids on the Block.
Oh, yay.
You know, that just goes to show how reluctant I am to really check out releases by any male artist or group of male artists. It's not really in my range of interest.
No.
You know, we've got new albums by JLS and The Wanted, and I don't really have the inspiration to do it.
Yep.
But I have a relationship with One Direction that stretches before this debut album.
Okay.
And it's exclusive, just me and them.
Yep. Okay.
And billions of other boys and girls. Mm-hmm. They were basically formed on UK X Factor last year.
Yep.
Now, I talked to you about this briefly off air, and you were like, oh, you know, were they together before the show? Did they audition together? Very interestingly enough, no. Mm-hmm. All five of them. So there's Zayn, there's Harry, there's Liam, there's Niall and Louis. All five of them auditioned as individuals, as solo acts. Didn't really make it through, got turned away. But in the last minute, at some stage, they were called back together and go, hey, would you be interested in, say, maybe if we put you guys together and formed a boy band?
Yeah.
And of course they said yes, because really you want to get far in a competition, don't you? You just
and
do as you're told.
At that point, they thought their hopes and dreams were dashed, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, I'll be in a boy band for a couple of years and then I'll go solo.
Yes, I'll do a Robbie, I'll do a Gwen Stefani or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, Gwen Stefani's technically back in the game with No Doubt. So
Jerry Halliwell.
I'll do a Jerry Halliwell. I'll do a Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
You know the story. But I think all five of them, for a, you know, so-called manufactured pop group that was thrown together on the TV show, really click. There's real chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
They're very likable young lads. I mean, they're about 16, 17.
Yep.
So very fresh face. I wouldn't say innocent, but the brand is definitely very innocent with One Direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of success, Jade, they didn't win the X Factor. Mm-hmm. I think they came like third. Yeah. They came third in last year's series.
Yep.
So, but regardless of that, I think they're already they're primed to do better than the winner.
Mm-hmm.
They're primed to do, I think, the best out of everyone in the 2010 X Factor series. So I'm very pleased to see that their debut single, What Makes You Beautiful, became the fastest selling single in the UK when it dropped in September.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, because the X Factor UK wasn't shown in Australia, I wasn't sure if they were really going to have a crossover success.
Yep.
There aren't a lot of UK X Factor contestants that really go on to have hits overseas, Leona Lewis being the exception.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wasn't sure if there would be a demand. And here in Australia, I think it's a little hard for pop groups to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very surprised.
But we want a boy band, apparently.
Apparently we do now.
Yep.
What Makes You Beautiful managed to crack the top 10 here in Australia this week.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely moving in the right direction. And I feel that because of all the hype and all the excitement of, you know, fans watching the original, you know, watching them on X Factor. Mm-hmm. I reckon all that excitement has translated online, and you know they've got a huge fan base on the interwebs.
Yep.
So it's really not surprising to see young girls and you know young boys in Australia getting into their stuff and demanding for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess the big question now, Jade, is whether this album is quality or not. Because
mm-hmm.
as you know, there is hype, mm-hmm. and then there is can you back this up?
Yep.
Can you walk the talk? Mm-hmm. You know. I'm quite impressed, Jade.
Oh,
needless
yeah.
to say, I'm quite impressed with their debut album, Up All Night. It is quality pop. And I feel like in an era where a lot of boy bands and a lot of top 40 material do sound kind of same-ish,
yeah.
a lot of people are going for, you know, the electro-pop R&B kind of inflected fusion
mm-hmm.
that's happening. You know, a lot of people are going for the dance sound, the Red One sound. With One Direction's album, Up All Night, I feel that it's its own creature.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like just a good young summery pop album, and it's got range as well. Like it's not just, you know, teeny bopper, strummy la la, feel good pop. You know, there's some ballads on there. They've got some quality A-list producers like Steve Robson, who's worked with Take That and Ollie Murs, Savan Kotecha, who's done tracks for Britney's Femme Fatale, Toby Gad, who's written for Beyonce and Fergie, and Ed Sheeran has even done a song on there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the highlights, I would say, on One Direction's album would be, both singles are great, by the way, the first two singles.
Mm-hmm.
The present single, which is the second one, is Gotta Be You. Now, I think that one's sensational.
Yep.
I'm not one for boy band ballads, really, but this one just, it sounds so mature, Jade. Like, yep. you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't think that they're 16, 17 when they're singing this song.
They've got some good support, though, Dave.
Yeah, they do have, like, some of the best, you know, producers in the world working yeah. with them. But still, it was so on point. I was so impressed. Like, mm-hmm. their first album, What Makes You Beautiful, was fun. It was mm-hmm. young. It was mm-hmm. summery and innocent. And this one actually feels like a ballad from, like, maybe the second or third album.
Yeah.
That's how advanced they've gone from single number one to single number two. Now, that is an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Another album track that I thought would be great is Tell Me a Lie. Now, this one is co-written by Kelly Clarkson.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be a single.
Yeah.
Absolute smash. In the meantime, I'm going to play the title track. It's called Up All Night.
Mm-hmm.
Jade, I'm not really sure if you're going to be into this.
Yeah, well.
For a couple of reasons.
Because they're 16 and 17-year-old boys?
No. There is a constant reference to Katy Perry.
Oh, God.
You do not like Katy Perry.
I have issues with
Katy Perry. You do have some slight issues with Katy Perry.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.